But when I call on Jesus.
Good evening, and welcome to Cultivating Hearts with Tara Rye and Tanya Benning. I'm your host, Sabrina Rice.
Welcome to Cultivating Hearts. I'm Candace with heartwarming updates of God's work in the lives of people served at the Open Door Mission. We are so thankful for the many partners in action. Recently, I had the opportunity to sit down with Mimi Hanner and talk about the career workshop that is put on by volunteers for the upcoming Graduates Quarterly. We could not do what we do without fabulous volunteers. And we have had an exciting partnership with Mimi Hanner and a lot of her volunteers. And the first partnership I want to share with you today is been equipping and empowering our men and women who complete our long-term programs to have a wonderful career fair experience. Some of you may not realize that 26% of our men and women go on to college after completing one of our life-changing programs, and more than 60% of those that graduate from our program find gainful employment. Hi, Mimi.
Hi, Candace.
How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Mimi, this is not your full-time job being a volunteer at the Open Door Mission.
No, it isn't.
But it's your passion.
It is.
Tell us a little bit about how the career fair became, upon you and really the idea and what's happened since it's all started.
Well, from the beginning, I moved here from California, and of course I wanted to get into community service, and at the church, there were flyers about Lydia House, and I wanted to come down, check it out, and I did. I got a nice tour, and as I was walking around, I thought, wow, how can I make a difference? How can I help? And I saw a flyer sitting around about computers and things like that, and I asked the tour guide what other needs there were, and she told me with the women what they needed to do. And because I've been in sales all my life and I have a business degree, that is more of my knowledge.
Interesting, Mimi, because instead of coming and scooping the potatoes, making pantries, very much needed items, you took things that were your skill set and applied them here at the Open Door Mission.
Absolutely. And I'm not opposed to the pantry, but I wanted to make more of a lasting impact as far as what they can take with them when they graduate. The graduation rate here is so impressive that I wanted to contribute to that. And with us working in the real world, a lot of the attendees haven't been out. And so we wanted to bring to them so that when they do go to interviews and they do go and apply, they will know what to expect.
Mimi, tell a little bit about, you have a group of volunteers
yes.
with expertise, and you have all these stations set up.
Yes.
What are some of the stations that our men and women walk through for a career fair?
We have a mock interview station, which everybody loves. The attendees tell me all the time how fearful they are of the interviews that they're going to be going to because of their past and their, their records. And
lack
so,
of self-confidence.
Absolutely. And so what we do at the mock interview is exactly that. We do an interview. I have working professionals, managers, HR, recruitment counselors, administrative assistants. We have IT professionals. Those are all groups of my volunteers. So they'll run the mock interview station. They'll go through all of that, give them the real life questions that they will encounter when they go on an interview, and they'll guide them based on their answers. They'll guide them on how to answer that.
What are some of the other stations that the men and women will go through as well?
We also have in applications where we have them fill out a four-page real-life application. Some of these are like a one-pager, and they're shocked to see, no, it's a four-pager. And so,
and for many of them, they're not really sure how to fill these applications out. I know also some of the stations are resume making and then how to dress for success.
Yes,
that's a popular booth.
It's huge. And I've got to go out to Dress Barn, Bass, and Van Houston. They're great partners with us. They donate brand new clothes for us, and we are able to dress the men and women.
Well, you've been listening to Mimi, and she's a volunteer at the Open Door Mission. She actually coordinates our career fair for men and women. And if you maybe are a professional in the community and you have some business clothing in good condition, we hope that you'll contact Mimi. She'd love to put that into the hands of some of our men and women. Or maybe you'd like to join this wonderful group of volunteers to be part of the career fair workshops. We have one coming up this fall. That's right. More than 30 men and women will graduate in our cap and gown graduation. And Mimi would love to have you on her team. And so, Mimi, how can they contact you?
You can contact me at 402-740-5131 or on email cws That's for career workshop, @yahoo.com.
I want to personally say thank you for giving up part of your week to bless the Open Door Mission. Hungry and homeless people in the Heartland don't have the luxury of air conditioning and transportation. I'm Candace, and that's why Open Door Mission is hosting its third annual walkathon on Sunday, September 19th, between 1 and 5. Please join us on a one-mile walk from downtown to Open Door Mission. This is the same path that so many homeless people choose when seeking help. Thanks to the community and people just like you, resources are available to provide hot, nutritious meals, safe shelter, and life-changing programs. You can walk at your own pace with family and friends, and once you've arrived at the Open Door Mission, you'll be served homemade soups and breads made especially for this day by chefs from local restaurants. You'll have a tour of Open Door Mission and see firsthand all the services provided through your generosity, and life-changing volunteer opportunities are available. You will receive a free Open Door Mission t-shirt and water bottle. Call Maggie today at 422-1111 or visit opendoormission.org for more information. Join me as we walk a mile in my shoes, making a difference right here and right now. It's not too late to join me today for Open Door Mission's walkathon anytime between 1 and 4. You can just come to the Gallup campus and register then. We'll be in the parking lot. You won't miss us. If you'd like to know more about what's going on at Open Door Mission or how you can have a life-changing volunteer opportunity, visit opendoormission.org. Or you can also follow me on Twitter, Rescue Blog, or Facebook. Now joining me to cultivate your heart is Tara, Sabrina, and Tanya.
Thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. I had the pleasure of being over at Tara Rye's house the other night, and wow, what an experience. She's going to share a little bit about what happened that night.
Well, Sabrina is talking about the fact that in my research with seminary, I'm working on my doctorate, for those that don't know, and I've been studying storying the Bible. Mm-hmm. Storying is telling the Bible in your own words. And recently, Caleb Smogus, the children's pastor at Westside Church, had asked me to come in and do a conference, and he wanted me to story, in summary, in my own words,
wow,
the whole concept of the Bible. And what he did not know is that a year before, I had asked God to teach me how to do this, and I have done research to find out how and what's done. Well, what we're going to be doing for the next 2 weeks with Cultivating Hearts on the radio is I'm going to, we have a recording of me storying to a group of women. And I did this for Adam and Sabrina's family, and it was fun to watch Kennedy's face and even Sabrina's face as I storied, and then to hear and see Adam, her husband's reaction afterwards, because it really got everybody motivated. And after I storied this section, people started asking me for recordings, and so we're going to put it on the radio. So we're glad you're listening.
Started noticing that the other people had created these little gods that they had fashioned with their own hands. And they thought, I want one of those. And they began to take the idols of the nations that they were told to conquer and destroy, and they worshiped. And through this process, a cycle of sin began to happen within the nation of Israel that put them into a spiral that every time they would go back into the spiral, they would increase in evil and wickedness in the eyes of God. They would sin and they would go into bondage. And then it would get so heavy and so hard upon them that they would cry out to God for a deliverer, and God would send a judge to deliver them. And as the deliverer would come, he would deliver them from the bondage. And then they would know the blessing of deliverance, but then they'd begin the process of sin again. Some of the great deliverers of this time were Deborah, Gideon, and Samson. But as the people started to notice the judges that they had, they noticed the other nations had kings. Well, if they've got a king, I want a king. And they began to demand of God, give us a king. We want a king. Send us a king. Give us a king. And God sent through the prophet, and the prophet said, don't you know that if he gives you a king, the king will take your daughters, they'll take your sons and make them work, they'll take your land, they'll take your crops, they'll take your tithes and offerings. You will not be able to worship me. Give us a king! God gave them what they asked for. He gave them a king. That king was Saul.
Saul was insecure. He was prideful. He did not have what it took to lead a nation, and it led to his destruction. But in the process of Saul's life, there was a little shepherd boy that God had his eye on. A young man that was willing to fight a lion with his own bare hands, yet play a harp and sing a song and worship the Lord with his voice. He grew and grew, and he became the one that God said, that is the one that the promise of my son will come through. David grew up, and he ended up sinning really bad. And when he was confronted by the prophet Nathan, he realized it was him. He confessed his sin. He repented of his sin. He turned and walked away. And that is what made him the man after God's own heart. He grew to serve God and to worship God, to draw near to God. His son, Solomon, is the last king to know the whole nation of Israel as 12 tribes. Because in the process of what they were doing, they started crying out so much for the idols of Babylon that God said, okay, I'll hand you over to Babylon. The nation of Israel splits. 10 go this way, 2 go this way. The 10 kings of Israel are all wicked, and they only choose wickedness. Judah, the two kings, the kings that fall under Judah, they some we'll have every once in a while a king that might do right what was in the eyes of God. But for the most part, the nation of Israel had to learn the most important lesson, that even though you may have one person who is righteous, that as a people group, when you sin, the whole nation is impacted by your sin. And God handed them over to Babylon. Babylon conquered the nation of Israel, and Israel now was under Babylon. Babylon had control, and Israel was no longer an independent nation, free to do what they wanted, to worship God the way they wanted. And they stood in Babylon as a nation, suffering from the consequences of the want of what Babylon offered versus worship of holy God. There were some righteous people at this time. There was Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, men that truly wanted to honor God with their choices, but the nation as a whole did not. And it continued that way. Babylon became so wicked that God allowed Babylon to be conquered by their enemy, and Persia came in and conquered Babylon. So now Israel is now under the conquering hand of Persia. And in the land of Persia, there was one man that was so petrified and mortified by the Israelite nation that he had actually talked the king into creating an edict to destroy them all. But God has a promise, and he will fulfill his promise. And he has a plan. And he said, Abraham, I will make your descendants like the stars in the universe. And he was raising up a Jewish young maiden. And she became the queen of Persia. And it was by her hand the entire nation was delivered from annihilation. Because God will use that which confounds men to bring about his plan. About 35 years after Esther, there was a cupbearer to the king named Nehemiah. He had received a letter from home at the destruction and the wear and tear that has happened upon his people, and that the city walls were in destruction, and it grieved him so. And as he went to go serve the king, his countenance was so sad that the king said, why are you downcast? And he said, I received a letter from home, and my people need help, and my city needs to be rebuilt. I need to go back. The king of Persia says, go. Go back. Go and take care of what needs to be taken care of. In fact, I'll write the letters and give you what you need. And the king does. He provides the funding for him to go back and rebuild Jerusalem.
He goes home and he realizes as they begin to build that there are enemies that do not want them to rebuild. Sanballat and Tobias did not want them to get finished with the wall. They were doing everything to destroy them. The men literally had to hold a knife in one hand and a hammer in the other. And despite the incredible opposition that they were fighting against, in 49 days, they completely rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, restored it beautifully. But then a strange thing began to happen upon the nation of Israel. For a couple of hundred years, they were allowed to continue their worship. But after about 200 years, they weren't allowed to worship anymore. The people in control wouldn't allow it. And for a 400-year time span, God became silent. He didn't speak. No prophet gave a word, no message to feed the hungry. And instead of a physical hunger, they endured a spiritual famine of God. And the people began to cry out, God, send the Messiah. Send the deliverer. Send the promised child that will deliver us so that we can be back in relationship with you. And they cried out to God for the deliverance that they so longed for, that they would spiritually be able to be back in relationship with God. And one day, as some shepherds were out in the fields, they went to rest at night, and they looked up into the sky, and the most amazing birth announcement happened. A host of angels appeared in the sky and said, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Unto you this day in the city of David, the Savior is born." The shepherds had to go see. Born to the Virgin Mary was a little child, Emmanuel, God with us. His name as he walked on this earth, Jesus. Jesus grew. He grew in wisdom. He grew in stature. He grew in favor with God, and he grew in favor with man. He walked on this earth, and in time and preparation for him to do the ministry that God had given him, he went off into the desert because he needed to fast and pray before he began what God had sent him to come and do. And as he went into the desert, the deceiver showed up. And he began to tempt Jesus. He tempted him in his appetite. He tempted him in prestige and power. And not once did he sin. Not once. And in fact, with each temptation as it came his way, Jesus gave the word of God and it put a stop to the temptation completely. He came through the wilderness strong and as innocent as ever. And he began to walk on this earth, and as he looked out amongst the people, he would walk up to someone and he'd say, "Come, follow me." And that person dropped everything to go follow him. He gathered a group of men that he knew he could show what the Father had sent him to come and to do and to tell. And he showed them by walking with them and talking with them and eating with them and sleeping with them. He preached, he taught, he healed. All of a sudden, the blind could see, the deaf could hear, the lame could walk, the mute could speak. But as the disciples started talking amongst themselves, they realized something even more amazing than physical was going on. Because when they were in the presence of Christ, they were different. They were changed men. They weren't the men they were yesterday. They were different today because of Jesus. And when they looked out and they looked at the people that were following, they realized they were different too. They weren't the same people they were yesterday. And it blew their minds away. It finally came to the time where Jesus said, "You're ready. I'm going to send you out two by two. I want you to go find the people of peace. Tell them what you have seen and heard." And they went out two by two to tell people what Jesus had done. and what they are seeing. And they saw that Satan fell from the sky. And they ran back to tell Jesus. And they said, "We saw Satan fall." And he said, "Don't celebrate that. But celebrate that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life." And just as they followed Jesus and saw a life transformation happening in them, there was a group of people that did not like him. And all they could think of is that when they saw Jesus, it made them mad. Because he had power and authority, and they did not like him taking power and authority because they wanted it. So they began to plot. They began to plan. And they set out to kill the Son of God. And they did. They rejected him. They spat on him. They pierced his hands and feet. They hung him on a cross and let him die the most horrendous death. But what they did not know is that the Father gave permission for them to do what they had done to his Son. Because when he died, he went into that grave and he conquered death. He conquered sin so that all mankind could have a relationship with Holy God. And on the third day, Jesus rose from that grave. And he went out and he walked with them and he talked with them and he let them touch the holes in his hands and he ate with them and he showed them he was alive. And after 40 days, they were standing together as a group and he looked at them and he said, "I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait. Wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you, because when the Holy Spirit comes, he will give you the power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the outermost parts of the world." And as he was speaking to them, he began to rise and he was just gone in the clouds. And they were staring. And two men in white appeared before them. He said, "Why are you watching? He's coming again. He will return." And the disciples did exactly as Jesus told them. And they prayed and they waited. And 10 days later, at Pentecost, as they were all together praying, the Holy Spirit fell down like fire upon them. And all of a sudden, this unschooled, ordinary group of men were able to speak in every language of the people that were present from all nations and tribes, in their own language, what Jesus came to do and to teach. And 3,000 souls. The disciples were faithful. They went out and they told everyone they could about what they saw. One day, while Peter had a vision as he's sitting on the roof, he realized that God wanted him to go to a man, Cornelius, who was a Gentile. And that's how it began, that the message left the Jewish nation and began to spread to the Gentiles. Philip, one of the disciples, he was ministering to a large crowd of people, and the Holy Spirit put it on his heart that he was to go to the desert. He did. And there was a man that was an Ethiopian eunuch riding on his chariot. And he was reading the book of Isaiah, and he says, "I do not understand." And he got up and he explained it to him, and he believed and was immediately baptized. And it is believed that he is the one that took it, the message to Africa. And just as the disciples were out spreading the word, there was one man that was out to destroy it. And his name was Saul. And he was furious that they were spreading the gospel everywhere they went. He was determined to put a stop to it. So he was on the road to Damascus when suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared before him and said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he cried out, "Lord, who are you?" "Jesus, I am the one you are persecuting." He was struck blind. Jesus told him, "Go to the road called Straight and wait for a man named Ananias. He will tell you what you must do." And so he waited. And the men gathered him up and walked him there. And for 3 days and three nights in a closet, he fasted and prayed until Ananias showed up. Ananias came and put his hands on Saul. He prayed over him, and scales fell from his eyes. And for the first time,
Saul could see. And he was a new man, now Paul. Paul immediately went out and was baptized, and he began to preach and teach and heal, just like Jesus did. In fact, Paul is the one that wrote 13 letters to the churches to encourage the new Christians to remain faithful to what Jesus began when he came, to speak and to teach what the Father's will is. You know what? That's not where the story ends. There is a disciple that tells of a vision that was given to him while he was on the Patmos Island that Jesus is coming again. He will come in on a white horse, and he will land in the same place where he ascended, and the earth will split in two from the east to the west, and we will know that our Savior has returned. But the story doesn't end with the disciples. It must continue between you and me. We have been called to go and be fruitful and multiply, to tell people what Jesus came to do and to teach, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life.
We would like for you to celebrate with us as we story the Bible, because one of the things that's happened is that in our nation, we have become to the third or fourth generation biblically illiterate. We are a society that no longer knows what the Bible says. And so by storing the concept, a summary of the Bible, I'm hoping to communicate the big picture of what happens from Genesis to Revelation, and pulling out specific characters to reveal how God was present and at work in their lives, so that we can see how God was constantly communicating his presence among his people. And also with it, I hope to give a challenge, because from the beginning of Genesis all the way through Revelation, we have a call to be fruitful and multiply. Mm-hmm. Initially, obviously, it was to fill the earth with people. Now it is to draw people to the Father, to reveal them to them Jesus Christ, so that they can know him as Lord and Savior. And by storying, people are more apt to draw it into their heart language and to take hold of the story and enjoy the story if they hear it in a story form that they can understand. And that's why we've been doing that in Cultivating Hearts. If you've noticed, we've been actually having a story at the beginning of each month that goes along with the section of what we're teaching on. God bless. But when I call
on Jesus, thanks for listening tonight to Cultivating Hearts Ministry with Tara Rye. For more information, go to www.tararye.com.